This is the RightsCast Network, brought to you by Dandelion Web Marketing, Lost Lake Press, and Kill Your Darlings Candle Company, and always streaming at rightscast.net. I know that every morning I look forward to rolling out of bed. It's 5:15 a.m., the alarm goes off, I gotta have my butt in the chair and my hands on the keys in only a couple of minutes, and you know what I can look forward to in those couple of minutes before my butt hits the seat and before my hands hit the keys well? It's 421 Brewhouse Coffee. And what I love about 421 Brewhouse, aside from the fact that their coffee tastes absolutely delicious, is that they operate with sustainability in mind. You receive every one of their blends in this really fantastic reusable, resealable pouch that you can repurpose for anything else around the house that you need to keep fresh once you have gone through the coffee they ship you. So 421 Brewhouse, folks, that's the place you want to be. You can find their Shopify page on the web and use code RightsCast at checkout to get yourself a little discount and to say thank you to the RightsCast Network as well. Again, that's 421 Brewhouse. Find them on Shopify. Discount code RightsCast. Make it happen. As the consumption of audio-driven media continues to expand, so does the market for audiobooks. Turning one's manuscript into an audio version of itself, however, isn't as simple as it seems. The undertaking can be daunting, but this episode's guest joins us to provide a roadmap to getting the work of both traditionally published and independently published authors into readers' ears everywhere. Hey there, I'm author, writing coach, and RightsCast Network founder R.R. Campbell, and welcome to episode 84 of your listener-supported R.R. Campbell RightsCast here on the RightsCast Network, brought to you by Dandelion Web Marketing, Lost Lake Press, and Kill Your Darlings Candle Company. For this episode, I'm joined by return guest, Valerie Beal. Valerie is a public relations professional as well as the author of the award-winning Circle of Nine series, stories of magic mixed with the Celtic mythology of Ireland's ancient stone circles. She primarily writes for the young adult and middle grade categories and is represented by Tina Schwartz of Purcell Agency. Regular listeners will remember Valerie from episodes 12 and 31, for which she joined us to talk about getting your books covered in traditional media and what to do in the final 30 days before a book launch. Today, however, Valerie Beal will be talking all things audiobook, and I'm so glad she could join us for this episode. Stay tuned after our conversation for more about what you can expect next from the RightsCast Network, and thanks, as always, for listening. Thank you so much, Valerie Beal, for joining me once again for another episode of the R.R. Campbell RightsCast here on the RightsCast Network.
Thanks so much for having me back. It's fun to be back. I had a lot of fun. I can't remember now. Have I been on with you two times or just once before? I can't remember.
It has been two times previously. Yeah, we did episode 12 and episode 31. And the only reason I remember that off the top of my head is I had to look it up before we recorded. So episodes 12 and 31, folks, circle back and you can get more Valerie there. But today I'm excited about this topic because this is one that has never been discussed before on the RightsCast Network. And we're talking about audiobooks, which imagine that. We've never talked about audiobooks before. Go figure. But I want to start here, Val, talking about the why of audiobooks. Why should authors who publish independently or even traditionally consider pursuing audiobooks as a publication medium for their work?
Well, I got to tell you, the main answer is it's an untapped source of revenue. You've already done the hard work of writing the book and getting it out in print and probably ebook too. So you really need to think about why wouldn't you add this revenue stream? The royalties are quite good. At a minimum, they're comparable really to ebooks and hard copies, depending on your price point. Now, for traditionally published authors, what's really fun is that if you've retained your rights to your audiobook, or say you've gotten them back because your publisher hasn't opted to create an audiobook, say in a certain amount of time, you know, it all depends on your contract language, of course, your royalty rate is actually going to be more lucrative with an audiobook than it would have been or is with your traditional publishing contract for ebook copies and for your print copies. Plus, audiobooks are becoming more and more popular. It's the fastest growing sector of publishing. And then, of course, we have to take into consideration we're recording this right now during our stay-at-home order. So there's been a drop-off because there's less commuting and less people going to gyms. You know, often when people listen to different, you know, books or podcasts, that kind of thing. So there's a little drop off now, but really it still is the fastest growing sector of publishing. Plus, depending on how you do it, and that's how we're going to talk about that a lot today, you can produce an audiobook for a very low cost, and you don't have a lot of upfront, you know, outlay in terms of financials. So it makes it a pretty simple decision, depending upon which route you take.
And I think something that people who are listening to this program might be thinking is, okay, well, this sounds like a really great option. How hard can it be? I mean, I can just sit there with my phone and record myself reading my book, right? Well, it's probably not that simple. So Val, let's talk about that now. What is it that listeners to this show need to be aware of before they start pursuing an audiobook version of their work?
Okay, so first, don't do what you just said. Don't record it on your phone. That's probably not a good idea. And also, I'll get into a good detailed list here in a second, but really, too, most authors aren't probably going to be great narrators. Some people said to me, hey, you have a nice voice. You should record your own books. And I thought, oh, well, that could be fun. But my books are very technical in terms of accents and things. So I was nervous to even think about it. And I was right to not pursue it. Now, if you're, say, I don't know, let's name somebody, John Grisham, Stephen King, somebody who maybe would like to do that, and people would really be drawn to that audiobook being narrated by that particular author because they're so well known, that's a different story. But for the majority of us, probably we shouldn't narrate our own books. But here are the three questions you need to ask yourself before you pursue your audiobook production, or an audiobook production, I should say. Do you have the rights to produce your audiobook? Of course you do if you're an independently published author, but you might not have those, or there might be some gray area maybe if you are traditionally published. So I do know a number of authors who, when they sold the rights to their book, traditionally published, audiobooks weren't in there, or there was an option to get those rights back. And even if there wasn't, I know one author who had, with her agent's help, retrieved or gotten her rights for her audiobook back, which is awesome. So there's some leeway in there. The second thing is, would my book make a good audiobook? Now, not all types of books are suited to audio. Books that rely on a lot of images aren't. You know, things like design books or even picture books for kids, reference books, textbooks, cookbooks, you get the picture. Anything that's really, really, dependent on visual components aren't going to work very well. Of course, there's an exception where things are recorded for people who are visually impaired, and that's a whole different topic. The third thing, do you have the time to take this project on right now? Because even if you choose the easiest route in terms of production, you're going to have to listen to your audiobook really carefully as it's produced and request changes and generally work back and forth with your narrator. It's not super time consuming, but it's timely in the sense that if your narrator is sending you files to review, you want to make sure you've got the time to do that and you're not stressed out and not paying attention to the content and the quality of the recording as you review it for your narrator.
So it certainly seems like there's a lot to keep in mind that's both practical. It's both about the relationship that we can have with the narrator and the time we have available to be working with them to help create what is a very collaborative product in the end, it seems. But let's say we are convinced now that even after hearing all of that, we know we've got our rights. We know this is something that we have the time available to pursue. What do we do? What do we do now? I mean, what are the production paths available to us if we want to pursue getting an audiobook created?
There are some really neat options out there. There are some complex options and there are some very simple options. So I'm going to walk through the ones that I researched the most. You could produce it yourself. You can hire voice talent. You can rent studio time because, of course, you need sort of a sound studio to do this properly. There's a lot of ambient noise in our homes and such. So people who have studios, they typically, spend a little time creating those in their home, or you go to a professional studio. And I know that you have obviously a place where you record your podcast in your home that works well for you. But you realize, that is important, where you're recording. you have to engage an engineer then to put those audio files together properly, and then uploading the audio file book files to the distributor. So that's a very hands-on method or approach. And I do know authors who have done that. It's also a very expensive approach. A second approach would be to sign on with an independent audiobook producer or studio. There are a lot of those around the country who do this professionally, but that is also an expensive option. Then there are the companies that are both producers and distributors. And the two main ones are ACX and Findaway Voices. Now, these companies help you find the narrator and producer. Usually the narrator is the producer. They have learned how to do all the technical components, as well as making sure to make the upload files are proper. And then they also distribute your book when you're done, which is very simple, I guess, one-stop, you know, shopping, basically. Now, Findaway Voices doesn't have an exclusivity type of contract, because you can distribute to really any you know, online stores that sell audiobooks if you produce with Findaway Voices. That's Findaway, Findaway. And they do have a growing market share. However, ACX is probably the one that most people are at least somewhat familiar with. ACX allows you to produce with them and distribute either exclusively or non-exclusively. And then, of course, there's different royalty rates involved there. The exclusive contract with ACX distributes only to Audible, Amazon, and iTunes. And when you choose an exclusive contract with ACX, that gives you the highest royalty rate. And which is really important, the most flexibility in terms of lower upfront costs. And we'll get into that, what that means in a minute. Now, Audible, the reason why a lot of people go with ACX is Audible, Amazon, and iTunes, the downloads, the audiobook downloads from those three places, those three stores, account for more than 60% of the audiobook market.
Wow.
But others are gaining ground. So I always caution everyone to do their homework. Yeah, 60%. Isn't that surprising?
That's a lot. Yeah.
I mean, I was just like, well, okay, cool. I guess that's helping me to make my decision. So that was part of the equation why I chose to produce with ACX in an exclusive contract. The math worked out for me. And I was a little nervous about upfront costs because I wasn't sure how easily I would make my money back. So I was looking for I was being cheap. I wanted a quality product, but I also didn't want to spend a ton of money on it. So I was hopeful that method would work for me, and it did. So you know, that was the path. But those are basically the four paths. There are other companies out there that are like Findaway Voices and ACX, but they're small right now. So I would rather not, you know, delve into those because I don't know a lot about those.
Kill your darlings. It's an adage as old as time. Well, maybe not as old as time, but it's a saying most writers are familiar with. On its surface, it might seem like the phrase is just about being judicious and objective when it comes to one's revisions. But at Kill Your Darlings Candle Company, they believe it's about so much more. Killing one's darlings is about having the bravery to fulfill one's duty, to accept the challenge that comes with making one's work the best it can be, even if it means we have to set aside something we love along the way. Is this a grueling, daunting process? Yes, of course, but you don't have to undertake it by yourself. Kill Your Darlings Candles will be there to help light your way, to stimulate your creativity, and to remind you you're not alone as you navigate every stage of your writing journey. To learn more about Kill Your Darlings Candle Company, their candles, and what they're doing to operate sustainably and with community and creativity in mind, visit kydcandleco.com. That's kydcandleco.com. Kill Your Darlings Candle Company. Candles for the wordsmiths of the world. Well, since ACX seems to have the lion's share of the market, why don't we kind of focus in on them? Because it seems like this is going to be the opportunity that I would have to imagine many listeners to this program are going to consider pursuing when it comes time to making their audiobooks. So Aside from some of the other perks of ACX in terms of distribution and possibly in terms of royalty rates, which of course we can talk more about in this section, what are we talking about in terms of ease of use for that platform? What do we really need to know before we begin to work with ACX?
Okay, so ACX is really a very simple platform to use. But I want to talk about some things that you should understand as an author who's seeking to produce an audiobook. So I'm going to talk about a definition that's really important right now. It's the phrase pay per finished hour. Sometimes it's referred to as PFH, per finished hour. So some narrators get paid a rate per finished hour. The average is about $250 or more. Now, the $250 threshold is in part because I believe that's the threshold that if you're a member of like the Screen Actors Guild or the stage actors, I'm not positive what the actual acronym is for those. There's a minimum that you charge per hour if you're a member of one of the actors unions, and that is $250. So you're going to see that referenced a lot. Now, some narrators who are amazing go up from there. On ACX, when you get to the point of auditions, and we'll talk a lot more about that, you'll see some narrators are charging $400. If you actually are with one of those private companies and you're working with people who are rather famous voice talent, you're going to spend a lot more money on that. And most of us are not going to be in that market, but just so that people have a reference for what that is, if you see PFH abbreviated, it's pay per finished hour. Now, to figure out how many finished hours your book will be, here's another little bit of math. You divide the number of words in your book by 9,400. And that means, say, a 70,000 word book is going to be roughly 7.5 finished hours. So you can tell right away how much it's going to cost if you pay per finished hour. 7.5 times $250 is quite a bit of money. So when you understand that math, then you start to look at what your options are. You need to decide then, you know, what kind of contract you can afford, what you want to do, exclusive or non-exclusive. Now, exclusive with ACX gives you that 40% royalty rate, and the non-exclusive royalty rate is 25%, but you can sell outside those other stores, outside Audible, outside Amazon, outside of iTunes. So that may have appeal to some people who want to make sure that they can sell in other places. That was not particularly important to me, given, of course, that we know that the majority of audiobooks are purchased from those three platforms. But mainly then, the choice that I made was also that I was able to limit my upfront costs. And that's because there are some different options here. If you pay, you can pay your narrator their rate per finished hour, and then you have the choice to be exclusive or non-exclusive with ACX. But if you choose the exclusive contract, you have a couple other options. You have a thing called royalty share or royalty share plus. Now, remember I said with an exclusive contract, you get 40% royalty rate. If you're with royalty share, it's exactly what it sounds like. You share that 50-50 with the narrator. So I get 20% and the narrator gets 20%. But you don't pay any upfront fees, which is pretty darn nice if you're limiting your costs, you know, and you're kind of hedging your bets a little bit because you're not positive really how many are going to sell maybe. Royalty Share Plus is a little bit new. I think that came about late last year or maybe the middle of last year, so the middle of 2019. Royalty Share Plus means you share that royalty rate 50-50, just like royalty share, but you also give your narrator a little stipend, and it's usually a low amount per finished hour, something like maybe $50 or maybe as much as $100. So it also helps that narrator cover their costs during the production process because they're also not sure how many books are going to sell. So it's an interesting balance, I guess we'd say, as to how to figure it out. And some narrators, the very, very high quality narrators, don't always do royalty share. So you might have a little trouble finding the best narrator that way. So there's a lot of considerations that you need to, you know, think about as you're doing this. I mean, they're definitely taking a risk on whether your book's going to sell, and they're putting in a lot of hours. It's interesting to know, and I don't know if this has ever come up with you. I should ask, Ryan, do you have any of your books in audio?
My books right now are not available in the audio format, but it is something that I have the opportunity to pursue with my publisher at some point. But it is, as you mentioned at the top of the episode, a matter of having the time available to work with them and to work with a prospective narrator and all that jazz. And well, I just haven't had the time yet, right? So
it is a
possibility, but I have not gotten to that stage yet.
So I was just curious. So I did not know until I got into this process, of course, and actually was, talking with a narrator, how many hours it takes to finish the book. Each hour of produced, recording, so that finished hour, it can take as many as 6, 7, 8 or more hours to make that 1 hour available. So you can see how long it takes for the narrator to do. So it's an interesting, wow. So if you have somebody willing to do that royalty share with you, they're taking the same risk you are, except you've already put the work in to write the book as the author and they haven't, done their end of the work to narrate it yet. But there's definitely a risk factor that you might not make your money back on it, which is why it's kind of nice to do this, 50-50 deal. The ACX platform is really easy to use. Just like any place you've ever logged into, you create an account. There are prompts for where spaces, blanks, where you put in this information. There's fill-in form. You put in, your author name. You load in your book's information, your book description. One thing to note is that you must create a square book cover, a perfectly square book cover. And they mean perfectly square down to the pixel. You can't be a smidge off and they'll reject it. So that's kind of a fun thing. But it's odd. And so you need to have some creativity or ability to create, the book cover in a, publishing program in a square format. They really do not like it if you just add, say, a band of color down the side or something and use the rectangle cover. You really need to, adapt your book cover. Also, it looks a lot more professional if you do it that way. Inside that platform, as you're loading things in, you get to the point where you can put in the type of narrator you're looking for. Male or female, the type of voice characteristics you might want. There's a whole list, a bright voice, a sassy voice. There's all these different words that they use to describe, the voices. And you can click on the ones that you need. I believe you could click on quite a few of those. So your narrator, could have quite a menu of what you're looking for. Then you also put in your marketing plan for the audiobook. This is to help entice the right kind of narrators to your project. Here you might put in, how you're going to advertise the book or what kind of support you're going to give to the book once it's out. And I know we're going to talk about that later here too in the program. I think it's interesting that they have this spot. It makes a lot of sense. I just didn't think about it in advance. So I had to stop as I did this and create, the nice little, I had a marketing plan, but I didn't have it in a really easy to use, like bulleted format that was easy to import into this platform. So I did that. And then you load in an audition script that should be about 5 minutes long. And they sort of help you know how many words or pages that would be from your manuscript or your book. And you want to choose typically something that's going to show the narrator's capabilities. So you might want to choose a pivotal scene from your book or a scene maybe with a majority of the characters or the main characters, rather than maybe your opening pages, because it's often the opening pages aren't that, of course, that pivotal scene typically. And that is something that you really want to know your narrator can handle. Then, when all that's filled in, you click that you are open for auditions.
And then it seems, now that we are at this audition process, that we are entering a brave new world, right? Because we have faced many challenges thus far as a writer when it was time to actually write the book. We have decided we're branching out into trying to get an audiobook published. We got the square cover set up. We have a marketing plan. But now we actually have to go through this audition process. So Valerie, what is that process like being on the writer side of it?
Oh, I have to tell you, it's so much fun to hear your book kind of come alive. I mean, authors, when we promote our book, sometimes we have events where we do readings from our book, right? That's very different than listening to someone else read your book. And it's kind of delightful in a way. And at times it's kind of horrifying, depending upon the quality of the narrator, if you will. So the interesting thing is, you know, not all books, don't be surprised if you're doing this and you don't get a ton of auditions right away. I got probably 6 or 7, and there were some that just weren't going to work for one reason or another. And you, the polite thing to do, and I find that this is surprising to me, is that people do not always reply to all of the narrators who audition. And I think that's very bad manners. So I am always going to tell people to reply, especially in the beginning here, if it's a no thank you, take a minute and send a message back. The messaging system is inside the ACX platform, and you get a little ping on your email that you've gotten a message, but an audition that's, you know, been sent to you. Send a note back if you don't want the person as a narrator. Don't leave them hanging. That's just not nice. So you've got those few that come to you based on all the things you've just uploaded, you know, into the platform. And then I think it makes a lot of sense to go through and search for narrators that might have the voice talent that you need and listen to their samples. So every narrator has a profile on ACX with audio samples from other works that they have narrated. And I have a book that has a just ton of accents that are hard, a lot of Irish accents. And that is not very typical. And I realized I was in a little bit of a conundrum. I was going to have a little trouble there finding a quality narrator at my idea of trying to do this with royalty share, right? So because I didn't want to pay $400 per finished hour. And I was lucky that I found four narrators that I sent them a message and said, hey, I've got this new project up on ACX. Would you be interested in auditioning for it? And out of those four, I think three then auditioned. One of them was definitely a pay per finished hour, and she was expensive. So she declined because I was looking for a royalty share. And of those three, then I had some really nice choices there. And I think I retained one from my original organic auditions. And that was then I had four to choose from. And I was painstaking. I was probably a little annoying. There may be some of my writer friends who listen to this podcast. So I ended up sending audio files can be pretty big. So even these snippets of 5 minutes were kind of big. So I was sending people these audio files. What do you think? You know? So I had some trusted writer friends who were giving me some good advice on that. But I was in the end very lucky to find a narrator. Her background is in acting and singing. So she's a stage actress and a professional singer. So her voice control and her accents are amazing. I think they are. And I've gotten some very good feedback now in this first book where people were very pleased with the accents. And we've just had a lot of fun working together. Now, she's no longer a royalty share narrator because she's progressed in her career. And so she is in the middle actually of producing my second book. And she's doing that with a royalty share plus agreement. So I'm paying her a little stipend per hour. And that is how she's going to work with me on the third book, because she'd already started projects with me. She wants to finish the series with me. And I was very pleased that she was willing to still do that without going straight to the royalty share. I'm sorry, straight to the pay per finished hour at like $250 an hour or something. One thing I should talk about though, too, is before I narrowed it down to her, you know, I had those four narrators that were in the running. I went one more step, and this is something you can do. So don't be shy about this. If you are an author, you can ask them to do a character reading. So beyond that initial 5 minute audition, because that's kind of hard to make a decision on for a whole book. So you've got that 5 minute audition. I then went and created something called a character reading list. So this was a list of pivotal characters from my book, not every single one, but say the ones that weren't already included in the audition, maybe 10, 15. And I provided a little guidance for each of these characters, a description of how I heard them in my head, a little bit about them and what their role is in the book. And then I created a couple lines of dialogue for the narrator to voice after they read that little bit of information. So with so many characters, for me, that was important to hear how they'd handle some of the different voices in the book. I have, of course, a lot of male and female characters, but you typically, I mean, there are some casts, narrators that do cast work where the book is voiced by different, people. That's difficult and expensive. So I wanted to make sure my female narrator could handle the male voices properly. And that was the thing that, really put the narrator I chose ahead of the other three. It was how well she handled the diversity of my characters.
And so it seems like after we have gone through all of this, that Val, there's so much back and forth. There's so much to keep in mind. And I know that as writers, particularly if you're already at the point of creating an audiobook or having one made for you, we are generally, yes, used to how long it can take to get things done in the world of publishing. But in the realm of audiobooks specifically, given that there is so much we need to do on the front end, once we have that all taken care of, once we know who our narrator is going to be, what does the recording process look like from there? And how long does it normally take to actually get to the point where you have that final audio file?
It can be actually quite quick, and actually for sure, faster than a traditional publishing, contract, from the date of signing to the date of release. It's much faster than that. So part of the contract includes the finish by date or the product delivery date. So this is a really honest conversation that you can have back and forth with your narrator, depending upon their schedule. My narrator had, I think, 3 or 4 projects stacked up before she could get to mine. So she said, before we proceed, you need to know it's going to be 6 months before I can start production on this. But I was invested by then. I wanted her voice. I wanted her narration. I knew she would do a good job with it. So I was willing to wait. I wasn't up against the gun with any deadline for any reason other than anything, things I created in my mind. So I step back and I was flexible with that. Sometimes you might find a narrator that can start right away. And then you could get that book, their narration could be done within, maybe even a month or less if they jump right in. But remember what we talked about, my narrator said that the average per finished hour time it takes, to create that per finished hour, I should say, is 6.5. She said my book took more like 10 hours per finished hour because of all of the different accents that she had to do. She tended to do one accent at a time and then meld those together because she was finding that she was sort of diminishing the differences between the different voices when she did them all in conversation. So she ended up piecing those scenes with multiple Irish accents together. And I know that that was part of what took her longer. So even at the 6.5 hours, say a less complicated book with accents, my book is 10 hours long. So you'd be talking 60 plus hours worth of work for the narrator in the whole production process, getting those files produced properly and engineered properly and ready to be delivered. Now, some narrators, they'll deliver the entire book to you at once, and then you need to, take all that time to listen to the chapters and provide feedback. But my narrator, and I would imagine there's other people who do this way too, it's more, I think, logical, is to deliver each chapter at a time. Then that provides the opportunity for the author to give feedback. And if there are changes, say you've just listened to chapter 1 and 2, and that's covered a lot of your characters, but maybe the narrator's doing something a little strange with one of the characters that you just aren't quite sure you like, better to catch that in chapter 1 or 2 than have them do all 30 chapters and then have to fix that character everywhere they speak. So I think that is more logical, and it's a lot easier to handle from an author perspective. So what'll happen is I'll get a little notification that something new's been posted, and then I can go and listen to that chapter and make notes if there are any changes. And usually I didn't have a ton of changes. I had a very, very good experience with my narrator. Maybe one or two things per chapter. Very odd things. Now, my narrator's from Idaho. So she pronounces, I mean, obviously Wisconsin. No, maybe it's I am the one who pronounces things strangely, and she pronounces things properly. But there were a few words where I was like, wait, is that how you say that word? But I don't know. I think I must, I have obviously a Wisconsin Midwest type accent. My husband will pick on me that I say words very strangely. So I usually just let my narrator pronounce things if it was, you know, not a wrong pronunciation, just a different one that I assumed I was probably wrong in the way I hear that word in my head, you know. But basically, that's what I would do. I would listen then and give her feedback with each chapter. She'd make any changes she needed to make. And so we went back and forth like that. Unfortunately, sometimes narrators get sick. Sometimes they lose their voice. Sometimes they get a cold and they don't sound right. So if that happens, of course, you end up, you know, with a delay, and, you know, you just have to be flexible. It's not fair to, you know, be a diva at that point and say, where's my audiobook? They're doing their best. And I just think it's been a real fun partnership for me. And I don't know if everybody has that experience with their narrator, but I did. So I'm very grateful with the partnership that I have with her. So on the technical side of things, once things are uploaded to ACX and you've approved them, so all the chapters are in, you're happy with them. There's also a little retail sample that your narrator has picked. You might not like that sample. You can always ask them to do a different sample. My narrator was very astute with the sample that she picked. Then you approve it. And so once I approve the project, then it goes into the ACX system for approval. That is basically the engineering side of things, the technical side. And obviously, you know about this, Ryan, with audio levels and the odd things that can happen during audio production. So sometimes they'll pop back and say, we've got some errors. We've got too low here, too high here, you know, on the decibels. And they want it to be very even, and there's a range that they want things to be in. So if that happens and they pop back, then the narrator, who's also the producer, then fixes those and then sends that back in. And then the author re-approves it. And then you go into the line or the queue to be officially published. Right now, ACX has a big warning on their website. This would be in June of 2020 that they're running a little bit late. And I think that's probably because they've got some issues related to coronavirus staffing and possibly even an influx of more books as authors are maybe expanding the revenue streams if maybe they're furloughed from their regular jobs and such. So typically you're going to see that approval within, they say 30 days, but I know it's running slightly longer than that. Mine was quite quick at the beginning of this year. So you just need to be flexible with that too. And eventually you'll get the nice little message that says your book has been published. And we can't complain about that. That's an exciting day when that happens.
RightsCast people, you know what's going on. This episode is brought to you by Dandelion Web Marketing. Dandelion Web Marketing helps writers like you build a thriving author platform through strategic web marketing. So if you're not sure if you're on the right track with your author website, for example, well, you can get an author website audit and find out. Listeners of the RightsCast Network right now can receive half off one of these audits, which will look at your site's content, security, design, search engine optimization, and more. You'll also get some insight on what you might do to better connect with your audience, which sounds like a pretty good deal to me. So to learn the strengths and weaknesses of your current website and save 50%, you can visit dandelionwebmarketing.com/RightsCast to learn more. That's dandelionwebmarketing.com/RightsCast. And it has to be such a relief to get that message as well, because even if the stage of all of this, the actual recording, if that moves more quickly than actual traditional publishing does, well, we still want to know that we can get that final product in our hands or in our ears. So you get this message, right? You get it and it says it's approved. You've now got your audiobook. It's ready to go. But, well, you know, marketing, publicity, that's kind of an important step in all of this as well, right? This is a new frontier for our book and for our work. So how do we go about publicizing our audiobook's release, and how does that compare to the original book release?
Well, it's not actually completely different. You're using a lot of the same sensibilities of your regular release, your ebook and your paperback or your hard copy. It's really similar sensibilities, if you will, but you're going to be using a few different tactics or locations. There are some special audiobook marketing type platforms or services that are available to you. One place you're going to want to go to fairly quickly in this process is SoundCloud. SoundCloud will allow you to create your clips, your samples. Now, you already have that retail sample from your narrator, and that's the one that is going to be linked to your actual platform, your Audible or your Amazon or iTunes. It's what people can click on when they look at your sales page and listen to. But you might want to create more than that. For me, my retail sample is American accents because my main character, although she's of Irish heritage, she has an American accent because she's living in the United States. However, her ancestors are Irish with the Irish accent. So I wanted to create a second retail sample and I use SoundCloud to do that. And SoundCloud's kind of fun and you can then have a very, very nice shareable, I don't know if the right word would be widget, but you have a shareable link that has a really cool icon and stuff that works well for social media if you want to share there. So SoundCloud is your friend. The other two places that you want to look at are Audiobook Boom, B-O-O-M, and Audiobook Crave. Those are websites that connect you directly to audiobook listeners who are basically willing to give a review for a free audiobook download. And that works well because when you produce with ACX, you get free promo codes that you can send to reviewers for both the US market and the UK market, the United Kingdom market. So those two services are relatively reasonably priced, like under $20 each. And I forget now how many people I connected with, probably at least 30 or 40 total. Audiobook Crave, you load the codes in and people retrieve them. These are specific codes that are used only once to download your audiobook. With Audiobook Boom, you get an email with the list of people who have said they'd like a code, and you can actually go and look at their profiles on Audible and see if maybe they're a really harsh reviewer. You might not want to send them your audiobook code. If they only ever give 2 and 3 stars, that might not be the best person that you want reviewing your book. And then you can also see, you know, maybe someone has asked for it, but they never review the type of book you write. They maybe only read romance and you're writing a thriller or vice versa. So you have a little more information about the potential reviewers with Audiobook Boom. The other thing that I did is I utilized some Facebook groups. There's some audiobook Facebook groups that are just amazing and responsive. And you put your SoundCloud sample up there or your Audible link, and you explain your book and say, hey, I have US codes and UK codes. And could you please, you know, let me know if you're interested. And then you can say, you know, instant message them the code or email them the code, whatever way they prefer to, you know, be in contact with you. Then you can get into other things. So now that's all the free stuff. That helps you sort of, you know, increase your visibility with your platforms that you're selling, your sales platforms, because those folks, when they write the reviews and you start to like ratchet those reviews up, that makes your book more noticeable if you're getting a lot of reviews. And obviously, we all want reviews for everything. We're always struggling with that as authors, with our ebooks and our print copies. Same thing goes for your audiobooks. The more reviews you have, the more likely it is you're going to be gaining in sales. So you need that social proof that your book is good. So that's why it's important to give away those free codes in the beginning. Otherwise, then I switched then over to paid ads, Amazon ads, Facebook ads, my outreach to my email list, and then my social media followers already, the ones I have already, but not just, you know, paid audiences that I was trying to reach. When I did those things, the paid ads, I was using the same audiences that I had luck with for my print and ebook copies, except I was filtering for audiobook listeners or fans of Audible, that sort of thing, because you can do that inside Facebook. Amazon is a little different story, and you're doing you know, ads based on keywords and things like that. Now, here's a note that I want people to be aware of. If you are non-exclusive, you have the ability to use the BookBub audiobook promotional service called Chirp, C-H-I-R-P. Isn't that witty? It's rather new. Now, BookBub, B-U-B, at the end of book, is a platform that I have advertised on before for my ebook and my paperback. However, I can't advertise my audiobook over there because I am exclusive and I am only allowed, I'm only selling on iTunes, Amazon, and Audible. So if you've chosen a different route than I did and you're non-exclusive either with ACX or maybe with Findaway Voices, or you've gone those other routes and produced it independently yourself, this is another avenue of marketing or promotion that's available to you. So I've been very pleased with my sales so far. And what's funny is, you know, you stop advertising, your sales go down. So I've now got a fairly active recurring ad that I use mainly on Facebook. And I have been able to keep my sales consistent. And my royalties are quite good. It's nice to get, you know, we like royalties. Authors like getting paid, even though sometimes it feels like those checks can be few and far between, or those deposits to our accounts.
Right. Well, and it's so nice to know that after all of the work that went into writing the book and all of the work that went into getting the audiobook off the ground and then recording it and the collaboration, getting it out in the world, and then, like you say, learning a couple of new opportunities and platforms for publicity while also relying on some of those old reliables, so to speak, that there is, in fact, literally a nice bit of payoff at the end there because you've put in the work and, hey, no one's going to complain, like you say, about some extra royalties in the back pocket. So, Val, we've covered a lot of ground here today, and I really appreciate all of the insight that you've shared with me and with listeners. But before we go, I do want to make sure that listeners have an opportunity to know where it is that they can find you online and learn more about you and your work.
Thank you. I had fun talking about this today, too. Thanks for the opportunity. It's been a real fun adventure for me to learn something new. I figure this keeps me, you know, my brain young, learning new things all the time. So I hope that works for other people who are listening to this episode as well. So you can find my author adventures at valeriebiel.com. That's my name, V-A-L-E-R-I-E. My last name is B-I-E-L.com. Or you can check out my author services at lostlakepress.com. That's L-O-S-T, like you can't find it, Lost Lake Press. I have a list of product services and courses and all kinds of things over there where I help other authors with the things I've learned, like audiobook production. I figure there've been so many authors, I should say, who were so nice to me at the beginning of my journey that I always like to pay it forward and help people who are at the beginning of their author adventures. My books are also widely available on all retailers. It's the Celtic Mythology Inspired Series. And the second audiobook for that series will be available this summer. So thank you so much. I really appreciate being a guest here with you again.
Yeah, Valerie, a lot to look forward to, a lot of opportunities for listeners to reach out to you if they have questions, etc. You now know where to find Valerie on the web. So I will say this one last time. Thank you, Valerie, for joining me for this episode of the R.R. Campbell WritesCast here on the WritesCast Network.
You're so welcome, Ryan. Thank you.
And so concludes my interview of Valerie Biel, author of the Circle of Nine series. Thanks to Valerie for joining me, and thanks to you, dear listeners, for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love it if you could leave the WritesCast Network a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. This will help the WritesCast Network reach more writers like you, and building that sense of community is what we, and I hope you, are all about. To those of you who have already left us a rating and review, thank you. I'd also like to thank the WritesCast Network's patrons who contribute to our programming financially at patreon.com/WritesCast. In exchange for their support, WritesCast Network patrons get access to some great patron perks, including WritesCast swag like stickers, t-shirts, and mugs, discounts on my editing services, and entries in monthly drawings for partial manuscript critiques performed by yours truly. If this sounds like something you'd be interested in, you can join patrons like Laura Hazen and Angeline Bowley today in supporting our programming directly at $1, $2, or $3 per episode or per month. Any level of contribution will get you access to some of those fantastic patron perks, so become a supporter today by making your pledge at patreon.com/rightscast. That's patreon.com/rightscast. Thanks as well to our on-air sponsors, Dandelion Web Marketing, Lost Lake Press, and Kill Your Darlings Candle Company. To learn more about them or our other sponsors, you can visit rightscast.net/sponsors. Coming up next on the Rightscast Network is another episode of Profiles in Encouragement. Because regardless of how things are going for us personally, professionally, or in the world at large, we could always do with a little more positivity. So stay tuned for that episode, which will debut on June 26th on Apple Podcasts, rightscast.net, or wherever you listen to podcasts. In the meantime, say hello on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rightscast, or by searching for the Rightscast Network. We're also available by email at rightscast@gmail.com, and you can now call us at area code 608-284-8342, where you can leave a voicemail with questions for future guests or other matters you'd like us to address in our programming. Again, that number is 608-284-8342. To reach me personally, you can visit rrcampbellwrites.com or holler at me on Twitter as @IamRRCampbell. I love hearing from listeners of all backgrounds, so please don't hesitate to reach out. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, this is R.R. Campbell signing off. Write on and write well. This is the Rightscast Network, brought to you by Dandelion Web Marketing, Lost Lake Press, and Kill Your Darlings Candle Company. And always streaming at rightscast.net.